Good morning. Last week, we looked at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to visit that part of the chapter just for a second, but it's introductory. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 18, Paul tells us that though we face difficulty and hardship, and we will, though we suffer here in the body, in this life, we can rest in God's promises and trust in His mercy and grace. Amen? Remember what he said in chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Because of His mercy and grace, we are able to walk on, to move on, to go on, to carry on, to do what we need to do. And the apostle was referring primarily to himself in this picture of all that he went through. And if you study the life of the apostles, they suffered a great deal at the hands of others. But they did not quit. They did not put it down. They did not stray. They stayed true to their office. So he tells us all that. And then in this same chapter, he confirms all that he told us by four important statements. Now, I'm going to put them in our vernacular. But these four important statements are preparatory to our understanding of chapter 5. And because we have these things promised, we can assuredly, with the greatest confidence, say, chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know. You can't say, for we know, if you don't understand these things. It's important that you understand these things. And so here are the four things, you need to write these down, that Paul gives us at the end of chapter 4. Number one, he says, in chapter 4 and verse 16, my body is dying. Now, each one of you just look at the person sitting next to you and say, guess what? Your body is dying. Now, some may look at each other and say, yours looks a lot deader than mine. But your body is dying. Now think just for a moment. I'm going to add a statement to this. My body is dying. I am not. That's a concept we have to get. We fear death for the body. Why? We're not dead. We're just changing places. So he says to us in chapter 4, verse 16, my body is dying. He also says in chapter 4 and verse 16, listen very carefully, my spirit grows stronger day by day. He says, though the outward man perisheth, my body's dying, the inward man, the inward man grows day by day, he says. And that thought of that is it's invigorated, or it's renovated, or it's reinvigorated. It gets better. The outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Outward man, body. Inward man, spirit. You see that? So, number one, my body is dying. Number two, my spirit grows stronger day by day. Number three, circumstances in life are temporary. Everything that happens to you in life is temporary. Listen to verse 17. For our light afflictions, those things that we go through, all the things that affect us, all the things that we face, our light afflictions, our circumstances, for our light affliction, which is but for a what? Moment. They are temporary. They aren't going to last forever. You won't even last forever as far as your body is concerned. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, works in our behalf, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They move us closer. Everything that happens to us moves us one step closer to, listen very carefully to me, moves us one step closer to, for we know, all God's people said.
Amen.
Moves us one step closer. It's preparatory. And in essence, it's telling us that death is a portal. Death doesn't end anything. Death is simply a portal. We go through death and come out the other side in heaven. All God's people said.
Amen.
So though we have light affliction, circumstances, Paul says light affliction. Of course, he explains them and we all say, wow, he's crazy. They're more than light afflictions. They're hard. I know you don't have any struggles in life. Aren't you glad you don't? Holy moly, man, we have lots of struggles. Yeah. Listen, just two people eating lunch together can have difficulty. That's it. And why it amazes us that if in a relationship, we're married. Why it amazes us that in marriage we have difficulty? It's going to happen. Because we're in this body. So there's one more thing. The unseen world is real. I know you know that, but we don't always live like that. We get so caught up in this life that we think about what we're going to do, how we're going to live, how we're going to get it, how we're going to keep ourselves. But we forget that the unseen world is real. In fact, it's just as real as you are when you're sitting here. The unseen world is real. And there's a second thing about this unseen world. It's eternal. Verse number 18 in chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's not our focus, but at the things which are not seen, the unseen world. That's where our focus is. For the things which are seen are temporal. They don't last very long. But the things which are unseen are eternal or forever. Write this down. The unseen world. Heaven. Heaven. Number two. God and his throne. Number three. The loved ones that have gone on before us. All God's people said. They're real. The saints of all the ages are real. Sinlessness is really going to happen. Eternal peace forever. With Christ forever. Worshiping God forever. The unseen world is real. So we look back. That's what we did. We looked back to chapter 4. And it told us these things. Now we look forward. We don't stay there. Amen. We don't focus on the physical life. Our focus needs to change. And Paul's focus changed so much that he wanted the change. He wanted it to happen, and he wanted it to happen sooner than later. So he says in chapter 5, and verse 1, once he told us these things, once he affirmed all this truth, he said, for we know. That word know is assuredly. It's a statement of absolute confidence. For we know. We look backward, life is preparatory. We look forward, life gives us assurance. This knowledge, this looking forward, enforces several things that are important to us. This look forward gives us some truth to wrap our mind around. Let me give them to you. Because we know, all God's people said, it's not just some, we're not just giving words out, we're not just saying a phrase. Because we know, we are confident because of that. Let me just give you five things. Number one, Christ, we know that Christ is our Savior. All God's people said. Amen. The devil may show up. He may bother you. He may cause you to question things. But if you've received the Lord, he is your Savior, period, 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 exclamation mark. Amen. Amen. This knowledge we know enforces for us the truth that Christ is our Savior. He's our Savior because he promised all who come to him receive sins forgiven and home in heaven, period. Nothing more you have to do. No more struggle in your life as far as trying to find it or seek it or get it or do it. It's not keeping all the best things in your life, doing all the good you can do. It's not that. It's receiving Christ. Looking forward gives us assurance. They enforce things. The first thing it enforces for us, that Christ is our Savior. Number two, that we go to heaven the moment that we die. All God's people said.
Amen.
There's no waiting. By the way, there's nothing sinister or bad about worrying about death. I mean, we're human. That's a scary thing, death is. I don't dismiss that. But the wonderful thing is, as soon as you close your eyes, folks, all that's over. And we are in heaven. This knowledge enforces that Christ is our Savior. Number two, that we go to heaven the moment that we die. Number three, it forces that Jesus' resurrection and ascension foreshadow ours, all God's people said. Because he lives, we live. Because he's the resurrection, we will resurrect. Because he died and rose from the dead, we may die, and we, if we do, will rise from the dead. And I said, may, because it may be that you'll just go up at the rapture. Number four, we can be assured. And this look forward enforces that our new bodies would be made like unto Christ's body, all God's people said.
Amen.
We'll be fashioned like his glorious body, all God's people. Think of that. Brand new body. And here's number five. And this is an important play on words, but it's important. Listen to what I'm saying here. The great change that God wrought in our souls the moment he saved us. Listen very carefully. That change is enormous. Do you understand from death to life? Do you understand that you were dead in trespasses and sins and you received Christ and you've got new life, that you're a new creature? I mean, that's incredible. That change is overwhelming. Only God can do that. Now listen, if God can do that to our bodies, to our souls, he can easily do it to our bodies, all God's people said. He's going to have no problem changing our body. This one dies, we get a new one. That's not a problem with him. He's going to do it just like that. So, we have the look backward as preparatory. Look forward is an assuring thought. We have all this confidence, amen?
Yep.
There's a third thing. Looking forward gives us hope. Looking forward gives us hope. Listen very carefully, chapter 5, verse 1. There's three things said here. Number one, there's a picture painted. There's a longing stated, and there's a confidence that's assuring. Listen to what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. For we know, what do we know? Listen very carefully. That if our earthly house, underline that word, house, how many know what a house is? What's a house? Place where we live, amen? That's a house. It's a living place. It's something you live in. Well, what's he saying? He said, for we know that if this house, what's he talking about? The body. This is our house. It is temporary. It's earthly. It's gets wrinkled. Amen? Grows old. House. He says, for we know that if this earthly house, our body, of this tabernacle, that's an interesting word. Tabernacle is the word tent. Now, the people in that day would have known what he meant. There were many different tribes of people that tented. The Bedouins tented. To tent means you go and stake out a place, put your tent up here. Then you stay in it for a while, then you pick it up and move it over to here. Then you pick it up, move it over to here. Then you travel some miles and you move it back over to here. And after a while, guess what? It's worn what? It's worn out. Oh. So you got to get a new tent. You got to repair it. You got to make it better. Because it just wears out. Because it's moved from place to place. There's several things being said here. We are not citizens so much of this country. We are sojourners. We are temporary in our citizenship in this world. We are not meant to stay here in this house, in our tabernacle. Movable, changing, wears out. For we know, the picture is great. If this house of our earthly tabernacle were dissolved, that word means disintegrate. Go back to dust. From ashes you were taken, to ashes you shall return. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. What man was made from, the dust, we will return to the dust. We will disintegrate, turn to dust. And it also has a thought of a replacement necessary. I like that. Because it says, for we know that if this house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have. That's present tense. What? We have right now have. We have this thinking sometimes that, well, we're going to die here. We're going to go there, and then God will make us a body. And we'll no, we already have it. It just isn't occupied yet. All God's people said. Amen. We have a building not made with hands. That thought there is not of this earth. Not of any man's origin. We have a building not made with hands. Not artificial. Not temporary, not of this world. In fact, it's different. It's eternal, forever. Yes. Completely different than our present one, all God's people said. Amen. We know. I just love that phrase. I just love that little passage. We know. He goes on to say, chapter 5, verse 2, for in this we groan. What's that, Paul? Paul's saying, I'm groaning. And I'm groaning earnestly. In fact, he says it again in verse number 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. So he says, first I groan earnestly. Now he said, I'm growing because I'm in a burden. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to get out. I want to get rid of this body. I'm worn out. I'm tired of living in it. And I want the refreshing life that Christ has for me in heaven, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I want out of this package. I want a new one. He has a longing. Then verses 3 and 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. He's saying, I don't just want to die, and that's it, unclothed, no more body. No. That's not what I'm saying. He said, I want to die all right. I mean, I want to get rid of the body all right, but not be unclothed, but be clothed upon. He says that mortality might be swallowed up in life. This mortal must put on immortality. Once this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All God's people said. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, Moses is, has fled from Egypt, has come back to Egypt, and he's now going to make some statements to the Pharaoh that's not something Pharaoh likes. But he did not fear the wrath of the king, the Bible says. Not fear all the difficulties that would happen to him. And here's why. He said, because he saw him who is invisible. I do not fear the putting off, the shedding of my body, because I'll get a new one and I'll be standing in the face of him who is invisible. Our faith. Incredible passage. We know. We assuredly know, all God's people said. Amen. Lord, help us to love you in Jesus' name.